Money News on 2GB, thanks to Pacific Boating. If you want a boating lifestyle without the costs, join the club. PacificBoating.com.au.
Welcome back to Money News right around the country to that sharp-eared listener. Thank you very much. You pointed out that if you got nine of the Rugby League winners this week, you must have been cheating. And the reason for that is there were eight games. So can I just say, if you got nine in your tips this week, you've done spectacularly well, but you may be the subject of an inquiry from my next guest. That is the chairman of the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, Rod Sims, who's on the line right now. Many thanks for your time, Rod.
Oh, thanks, Ross.
Yes, that's exactly right. People shouldn't cheat in the tipping competitions. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, I want to go to you.
Tipping competition.
No, that's right. Exactly. Anyway, look, I want to go to a couple of issues that are out at the moment regarding the ACCC. One is the airport monitoring report, which you do on a regular basis. You not only look at the performance of the airports and the consumer satisfaction, but on top of that, also then look at the car parks, the amount of money that is made from those car parks, the profit margin, which is eye-watering, I should say. The other thing I want to talk to you about a little later, we'll go into that, is the national broadband network and the fact you want to recruit thousands of households to effectively keep an eye on the likes of the NBN Co and its claims about speed. But let's start on airports. Can you tell me whether people broadly are satisfied with the performance of the airports around Australia?
It depends on the city, Ross. People in Brisbane are fairly satisfied. Perth, their satisfaction's gone up a lot, particularly with the new airport facilities they've put in over there. I think they're less satisfied with Melbourne, and they're less satisfied again with Sydney. Sydney, they do rate Sydney Airport as poor on a number of features to do with baggage facilities and a range of other issues.
So do you believe, having seen this, that Australians are well served by their airports or not? Given the fact they're monopolies, when you arrive, you generally don't have any real choices to where you go. That's the facility. It's a genuine public facility, yet they're privately owned. So that becomes, you know, a real counterbalance, doesn't it?
I think monopolies, Ross, tend to underinvest and only invest when they need to. So I think we probably would have preferred to see a bit more investment a bit earlier. And some of the problems that we're seeing, particularly around congestion issues, probably reflect the fact that we could have had more investment than we've had.
What about the car parks? Because this is the sticking point. I mean, when you go to the airport and you're in a car, your real competition is ultimately to take a taxi, which is, for many people, not a real viable alternative. If they live too far away from that airport, you could these days potentially take an Uber, but even if you live too far away, that is not a viable alternative. For many people, the most cost-efficient way for them to use the airport is to actually drive, but even then it becomes prohibitively expensive.
That's right, Ross. There's a segment of the population that really wants to park at the airport, and you find profit margins ranging from 56 to 73%. So each dollar you pay at the car park either translates to 73 cents profit or 56 cents profit at the bottom end. So they're very high margins, Ross, as you said, quite eye-watering.
And is there any potential for competition, given the only true competition to a person parking in those car parks, be it the long-term or the short-term car park, is to take an alternative form of transport to the airport? But for some people, that becomes almost impractical.
Well, Ross, I think the other point is that, to some extent, the airports control the prices of their competitors. So if you go to Sydney, you'll pay a fee each taxi. You will pay a fee of $4.50. For the privilege of going to the airport, the off-airport car parking people who might ferry you in. Of course, that's an inconvenient way of doing it, but they pay a fee. And now they're creating separate Uber drop-off and pick-up points, so I suspect there'll be fees paid there as well. So they do have an ability to control how much you pay if you don't use the car park.
So in this regard, I mean, yes, there have been car parks set up off the airport sites, and they give you a bus shuttle and offer to do it more cheaply for you. I mean, can you see any other forms of competition really coming into what is the ultimate monopoly in some ways?
Look, not really, Ross. I think they do have a monopoly and they priced accordingly. I think the only thing I can advise people to do, because we don't regulate these things, Ross, we've got no control over yes. these prices whatsoever, is suggest that people go online. If you book online, the airport doesn't really know whether you might be considering taking a taxi or using off-airport car parking. So you get a 30 to 40% better deal if you book online versus just turning up on the day.
Okay, can you explain another thing for me? The National Broadband Network and NBN Co, you now want to draft thousands of households to effectively tell you whether the NBN Co has been real about its speeds and about the price that people are paying. How exactly would you like the volunteers to come forward to you? Because I'm certain we can get you a couple of thousand each night on this program.
I'm sure you can, Ross. So can I just say not yet?
Yep.
We need to get government approval to go ahead with this. Because we need a bit of initial government money, not very much at all. But eventually we'll be getting up to 4,000 volunteers. We'll get them by category, Ross. So we'll do it by metropolitan, rural. We'll do it by which RSP they're with. We'll do it by the type of speed plan. And when we get enough in each category, we'll fill up another category. But we're trying to test both the NBN itself. Is it doing what it should? And secondly, it could be that the problem's not with the NBN, it's with the retail service provider who hasn't provisioned enough NBN capacity. So this will help give better information to consumers, but it will also help this endless debate, which I can see coming up. Is my problem because the NBN's no good, or is my problem because the RSP didn't provision enough capacity?
Because you and I would be both well aware that the number one complaint to the telecommunications industry ombudsman in the last financial year was slower than expected data speeds coming from internet service providers.
Absolutely, Ross, and it's only going to grow that. So I think we do need this broadband monitoring program. Came up with the idea a couple of years ago. We did, or probably 3 years ago now, we did a trial in 2015, which was very successful and showed that it could work. We've tested the various options. We'd like to get it going fairly soon before we get too much more rollout of the NBN for exactly the reason you mentioned, Ross.
Excellent. I'll tell you what, Rod Sims, the ACCC chairman, always great to have you on the program, Rod.
Thank you, Rod.